The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Liz, the people of Staten Island said no today, and they meant it. The mayor planned to house migrants from the southern border at this former grade school in a fully residential neighborhood with four other schools filled with children nearby. The city brought the migrants in, and they were greeted by their new neighbors.
You're not welcome!
Migrant crisis came to Staten Island today as dozens of recent immigrants were bused to a former Catholic school here for housing. Residents were furious.
Oh! Where's the children? You're not welcome!
We have an all-girls Catholic high school literally 50 feet from this facility. If your 16-year-old daughter attended this school, would you want a migrant shelter right across the street?
Come down here and see this neighborhood and what's here and how the children are so close to it. We're not going to stand for it. I'm very sorry. We're not going to do it. I fought before for hell, and I'll fight now for hell. And I'm not moving from this spot till this is closed. That is it.
Not having control at the border is insanity.
I don't want them there. Take them someplace else or send them back to Venezuela. I don't care where they go. This is wrong. You got 73% of the people homeless in this city are black people. What have you done for them?
There were lots of fireworks over the migrants moving into the Lakeshore Hotel for 6 months, where 300 can be housed. Also, the city says it's a fluid situation, and it will need to revisit that timeline.
I will say this. The president has done more to secure the border and to deal with this issue of immigration than anybody else. He really has.
Anyone else? I guess the Joe Obama White House is going to take the same strategy or approach as they do with the economy and say, well, the economy's perfect and the border has never been more secure. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this final show of the week. Can't believe it's Friday. Can't believe we're into the month of September. You can get to these live shows every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. Just go to trumpetdaily.com. You can also visit our website where we have all of this literature that we offer to you freely, without cost, without obligation. That's thetrumpet.com. Also, don't forget about our Rumble channel. Just go to The Trumpet Daily at Rumble, and you can join the live stream chat. You can leave comments after the fact. And always, always, always leave us a thumbs up. And share the video, too. Spread it. Spread the word. So, assuming the fake president makes it through to the end of 4 years, just one term in office, he will have admitted, he will have opened the gates wide to 10 million illegal immigrants. 10 million! Those two segments there at the top in that cold open. You had the one report from New York City, and then the other lady that was in that room saying, this is ridiculous, you're not taking care of the minorities here. That was in Chicago. So when you see these reports that Donald Trump is trending at maybe 20% support in the minority community, that's astounding. And that's part of the reason why, what you saw there in the opening, because they don't believe what the White House is saying about how it's totally secure. Notice when they said it about the election, too. It was perfect. When they say it's perfect, you know it's a disaster. You know it. This is from the American Conservative. It says, Todd Bensman's overrun, how Joe Biden unleashed the greatest border crisis in U.S. history, is an essential book for understanding this migrant maelstrom. It's the worst border crisis in history, and you've got KJP sitting there saying, well, standing there, saying that he's done more to secure the border than anybody. It's unbelievable. This it's a, I guess, a review of the book. But it says, overrun is a fire bell ringing in the night, a White House that erases national borders, ignores federal laws, and refuses to expel illegal arrivals is on a mission to fundamentally change the country. Here we are, fundamental transformation. This is exactly what they want. They want wide open borders. So they talk about border security because they know that's what Americans want. That's what people in Staten Island and Chicago want. This is all part of the plan. We wrote in the Trumpet magazine, if you haven't subscribed to this, this is January's issue, but we wrote, well, let me give you the 800 number. It's 1-866-930-3024. But back in 2014, we had an article in the Trumpet. It says, liberal progressives envision a world without borders. They want open borders. They don't want to send anyone home. They don't. They want to send them to Staten Island. You notice all the people getting off that bus there in Staten Island. There were no children there. It's just single people, a lot of them men, middle-aged, and they're settling into a shelter right next to an all-girls Catholic school. That's right. It says they want amnesty for all illegals. They want the federal government to handle the situation, indeed, not by locking the door, but by taking off its hinges. This is what they have vowed to do from the very beginning. This is the Trumpet back in 2014, to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Now, you can look at prophecies like in Deuteronomy 28, verses 43 and 44. And I mean, that just those prophecies tell you right there who the end time nations of Israel are. What other country would allow this? What other country would tolerate this except for the nations of Israel, just like the nation of Israel did anciently, just welcome in all of these foreigners? That's when Israel anciently always got into such trouble. And the same thing is happening today. Deuteronomy 28, as I say, Isaiah 1, verse 7, talks about our nation just being overrun with the foreigners. And it is an invasion. You know, I played this yesterday, or I referred to it in class and then tweeted it out. But that exchange, I forget what year that it was, the exchange between President Trump and Jim Acosta, you know, the one who was always wanting to be the wise guy in those press conferences. And he got up. Notice for one how he doesn't even get up to ask a legitimate question. He gets up to tell Donald Trump what his truth is, and then he asks him why he doesn't agree with it, basically. This is an exchange from a time when Donald Trump was president, clip 13.
Well, if you don't mind, Mr. President, that this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me.
And why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election?
No, not at all. I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process.
But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and so on.
Well, that's true.
But
they weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing that.
They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood.
They're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, Mr. President, if I may.
One of many such exchanges. But think of the arrogance, for one. I mean, there's lots of things to unpack here. But just think of the arrogance of a reporter that gets up and says, it's not an invasion. These are migrants coming into the country. And you showed a video of them scaling the wall. Well, that's true. That's because it happened. It was being videotaped. But there's Jim Acosta saying, it's not an... Who looks like the truth teller now? You notice in that same exchange, I think it was in that clip, we might have edited it out, but he said that they're hundreds of miles away. What are you talking about? Well, try telling that to the people of Staten Island now. It's way down at the southern border. Imagine taking that as your argument. Who cares what happens in Texas or Arizona or New Mexico? No, we're, and of course, many of the people that write about how secure everything is are living in their rich and gated communities. They're not living in an apartment that's maybe right next to an all-girls Catholic school where there's suddenly a shelter for all of these people from Venezuela. Donald Trump said there's a big problem, it's an invasion, and we need to build a bigger wall and we need to enhance border security. That's what he told the American people. Joe Obama, they get, as part of the fundamental transformation, they kick the hinges off the doors and allow in 10 million illegals and then have the audacity to look at you in the eye and to say there's no one that's done more to secure our border than Joe Biden. America, just to plug those prophecies regarding the foreigners just taking over, that's in the United States and Britain in prophecy. If you haven't had a copy of that or gotten a copy yet, make sure you call our operators. You can see the 800 number there at the bottom. But then this one too, America under attack. I mean, these two really do go together hand in hand. So get both of them, add them both to your library, and more important still, study them. America is being attacked from within, as more and more commentators are now coming right out and saying. Donald Trump had this video a few days ago where he talked about how that they're trying to scare people into another pandemic mode. And as Donald Trump correctly said, and it just so happens it's coming along at a time when we're coming into the presidential election cycle. Yet again, they're dusting off this strategy from the election steal playbook. Let's get people to hunker down. Let's have an excuse to send out mass millions of mail-in ballots. This is coming back to KJP yesterday, and then it follows with Donald Trump and what he says about this attempt to scare people into hunkering down for another pandemic. Clip 9.
How are you thinking about masking, boosters, and just broadly about the state of the pandemic right now?
So nationally, while CDC is reporting an increase in infections, as you all know, and so when updated COVID shots become available in mid-September, we've heard from the FDA and CDC, they announced this last week that there will be new vaccines next, we'll be encouraging all Americans to get updated COVID vaccines and vaccinations. As we all know, as you've heard us say from here, against COVID-19 remains the safest protection for avoiding hospitalization, long-term health outcomes, and death. 19, we have tools at our disposal now, whether it's vaccines, whether it's home tests, whether it's masks.
The left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering about the new variants that are coming. Gee whiz, you know what else is coming? An election. They want to restart the COVID hysteria so they can justify more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots, and trillions of dollars in payoffs to their political allies heading into the 2024 election. Does that sound familiar? These are bad people. These are sick people we're dealing with. But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandates. They rigged the 2020 election, and now they're trying to do the same thing all over again by rigging the most important election in the history of our country, the 2024 election, even if it means trying to bring back COVID. But they will fail because we will not let it happen. When I'm back in the White House, I will use every available authority to cut federal funding to any school, college, airline, or public transportation system that imposes a mask mandate or a vaccine mandate.
We could have used more of that in 2020. Notice how he connected the COVID scaremongering together with the election steal. He can't very well, I mean, again, we all have the benefit of hindsight, and even this program, we're seeing and learning more detail about the attack on America with each passing day. And certainly he sees just how evil and sick these people are. And he sees now that they're using COVID or attempting to use COVID as part of the election steal next year. The thing of it is, they used it in 2020 to complete the steal. And that's the truth. And so there's KJP just going on and on and on. Masks, yeah, we're going to have masks. We've got a new vaccine coming out. And even the reporter, the way he framed it, tell us where your position is on the pandemic right now. I guess the pandemic is still going on. Well, most people are living their lives as if it isn't. And you listen to commentators this time around. They've drawn a line in the sand. There is no way we're going back to the spring of 2020. But Donald Trump, I mean, he's coming around, isn't he? He's seeing just how many different ways they cheated. He's seeing it really got in full motion in 2016 and 17 when Obama unleashed the coup. The coup was meant to either destroy Donald Trump or steal the election, preferably both. I mean, if they impeached Trump the first time, you destroy Trump and then you still have a Republican, Pence, in there, although he's establishment for sure. They would have been happy with him. But Fauci in January of 2017 said there's going to be a pandemic in the next 4 years. And all the cybersecurity guys, Obama made sure this was in place before he left office. We got to make sure we have that we control the machines so that we can have secure elections. All of this was, and then of course there's the spying and this, just the nonstop harassment of Donald Trump. Unleashing the Mueller investigation. It really is, as General Flynn said a couple weeks ago. I mean, we're in the throes of a coup right now, but it started back in 2016. As soon as they lost the election to Donald Trump, they immediately went to work to destroy him and to make sure that they never lose an election again. Donald Trump is standing against that movement, that coup, one of the few that is. The battle lines are drawn. This is from the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. The battle lines are drawn. The stage is set for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of biblical prophecy we have yet to see or we have yet seen in our lifetimes. On one side of this political battle, I love this, in America is the Democratic Party and the radical left. There's also, we now know, establishment Republicans. They're joined by the media, both leftist and conservative and big tech, with the single exception of Twitter. All are arrayed together. And then it says on the other side is Donald Trump, virtually alone. Look at what he's going up against. We step back, of course, and see God's perspective. God says in 2 Kings 14 that he's going to intervene to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. I mean, he is going to use a very prominent leader, a very prominent personality, but it's God's doing. And when you look at what he's standing against, Donald Trump, I mean, you know God has to do it. No man could. Another quote from that same article, it says, just speaking of the rhinos, the cowards, those that won't stand up against this coup. It says it's astounding that these establishment Republicans would rather live under the tyrant, Barack Obama, than support senators who back and support Donald Trump. They're all over the place. They'd rather live under a tyrant who is Barack Obama than to show any kind of support for Donald Trump. Look at the shameful comments that Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, made yesterday as he's now defending Fannie Willis. He's defending state. He's in lockstep with Stacey Abrams and the Dear Leader. He's telling the Georgia legislature, hey, don't you go after Fannie Willis. Don't you try to punish her. Don't you look into what she's doing. Just let her prosecutions against Donald Trump carry out. Otherwise, it would be politicized. It would be politically motivated to step in there and to actually say, this is outrageous, these attacks. Just let it play out. That's the way the good establishment Republicans, they all say the same thing. Kemp, Chris Christie, Bill Barr, just let things play out. We'll see what happens. This is clip six. Listen to this.
There have been calls by one individual in the General Assembly and echoed outside of the of these walls by the former president for a special session that would ignore current Georgia law and directly interfere with the proceedings of a separate but equal branch of government. Up to this point, I have not seen any evidence that D.A. Willis's actions or lack thereof warrant action by the Prosecuting Attorney Oversight Commission. Regardless, in my mind, a special session of the General Assembly to end run around this law is not feasible and may ultimately prove to be unconstitutional. The bottom line is that in the state of Georgia, as long as I'm governor, we're going to follow the law and the Constitution, regardless of who it helps or harms politically. And in Georgia, we will not be engaging in political theater that only inflames the emotions of the moment.
He's so establishment, it's embarrassing. It really is. He's not, he's seen no, here's another rule you can pretty much live by when listening to the talking heads. If they say there's no evidence, it means there's mountains of it. Just like when they say it's perfect, you know it's a disaster. If they say there's no evidence, you know there's evidence of corruption and wrongdoing. For sure you do. That's what this is. I mean, Fannie Willis is the one that's going after Donald Trump for the thought crime. And there he is saying to go after Fannie Willis when there's no evidence. That's unconstitutional. So it's unconstitutional to attack her, but let her go on her attacks of Donald Trump. I mean, after all, she's promised her constituents that he would be a target. You got to go after the bad orange man. It's embarrassing, as I say. It really and truly is embarrassing. Bill Barr, he's another embarrassment. This is clip eight.
I mean, the basic principle in the criminal justice system is if a prominent person commits a crime and there's and is seeking office, that doesn't give him immunity. If there's enough time to have it resolved before the election, it should be resolved. The idea that, I'm sorry, we'll let you get run in the election and then after we'll address it, that's not a principle of the criminal. I mean, just think, some mayor charged with massive embezzlement, and he says, well, you know, it's a year and a half to the election. Let's put that on hold while I run for re-election. It's silly. It's silly. Now, you can argue about whether he should have been charged and so forth, but the idea that this is interfering with the election is simply wrong.
Your former boss was on Truth Social quite prodigiously the other day, saying some rather unkind things about you, for example, that you're slow thinking, accused you of a lack of courage. How do you respond?
Well, he said that's not what he was saying. Before I told him that there was that we hadn't seen the evidence of fraud that he was telling the American people about. Before that, he sung a much different tune.
I want to take you back to the first statement he made. He kind of brushes aside Donald Trump's criticism, but right at the start of that soundbite, he said, "If a prominent person commits a crime and is seeking office," just insert Joe Biden. Let's just play a little game. He was the guy, Bill Barr, the chief law enforcement officer in the land, when his DOJ received Hunter Biden's laptop in 2019. All of that incriminating evidence about the Biden crime family, the bribery schemes. He said just now, if a prominent person commits a crime and is seeking office, that doesn't give him immunity. If there's enough time to have it resolved before the election, it should be resolved. So that man right there with the smirk, he had Hunter's laptop and they covered it up. They covered it up. That man right there put no one behind bars that was part of the rolling coup during the Trump years. No one. Didn't go after anyone. He's the one that appointed Durham. Durham whitewashed the whole thing. I mean, there were some things that were revealed through those reports and so on, but nobody was held to account. Sam reminded me this morning that Bill Barr was also there when the feds orchestrated the fake kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer, the Michigan governor. The feds did that. it was like a trial run for the January 6th setup. Now, he was gone by the time January 6th came along, but he was there. I mean, he was there when they orchestrated that fake kidnapping. FBI agents, what was it, like 6 or 10 of them in that little group? This is Bill Barr at Fox News in 2020. Attorney General Barr condemned a plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer and denied knowing about the FBI's investigation prior to arrests made this week. He finds this behavior abhorrent and is totally supportive of the FBI's investigation and the U.S. attorney's actions. They went after those guys, just like they went after the January 6th protesters. Still are. Put the Proud Boys guy, he's going to prison for 17 years because the feds went hard after him for removing an iron barricade. Something that a lot of other people did on January 6th, but the ones that were federal agents, you see, they're not prosecuted. But in the case of the Proud Boys guy, because he moved the barricade, that was an act of terrorism. So the feds were able to tack on 10 more years. 17 years in prison for moving a barricade that was mobile, by the way, a barricade that wasn't bolted down, in other words, for moving a barricade and then going into the Capitol. 17 years. Bill Barr didn't do anything to speak of, certainly didn't do anything about election stealing. He said that never happened. That was perfect. It really is, like my father says. You see over and again, no help. It's like it's flashing red lights. There's just no helper. God looked at the bitter affliction and said, wow. I mean, Satan's about to blot out even the name of Israel. It's amazing how the communists have taken over the Democrat Party. And more, you're seeing the so-called Democrat Party taking over the Republican Party. Yeah, Brian Kemp, he's right in step with Fannie Willis. Bill Barr, right in step with Fannie Willis. This isn't election interference. Look, I mean, if there's enough time before an election, even if it's a prominent guy running for office, you need to carry it out in the courts. If you have time, do it. That's the way it works. Nobody's above the law except Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary and all the rest. This is interesting from Newt Gingrich. He was asked, you know, so Joe Biden is, you know, he's senile, he's in his 80s now, and he's on vacation half the time. So who's really running the show at the White House? This is clip 10.
Based on everything you know about Washington, how things work, who is making the calls? Is this a Jill Biden thing? Is this a chief of staff thing? Who is it?
My personal guess is that the driving force behind the Biden administration is Barack Obama. Obama is the only president since Woodrow Wilson to stay in Washington. And in Wilson's case, he stayed because he'd had a severe stroke and he couldn't be moved. So the fact that Obama's here all the time, the fact that his staff literally permeates the Biden administration, and Obama's really, really smart. I mean, whatever Biden's problems are at being kind of slow and cognitively decaying, Obama doesn't have any of those problems. And if you watch the administration, it's much more an Obama administration than, say, the Joe Biden of 10 or 15 years ago. This is a very radical, very left-wing administration, deeply dedicated to policies that are close to crazy.
That's Newt Gingrich pointing out what many are now saying is obvious. Obama's there in D.C. He's the dear leader. You know, Tucker, in an interview the other day, he just kind of offhandedly said that he's going to be sitting down with this guy named Larry Sinclair, I think is his name, and how that it's a guy who claimed that back in 1999 or 2000, I believe it was, that he had a homosexual affair with Barack Obama and that they snorted cocaine together. And this was something that came out before Obama was running for office the first time in 2008, but you didn't hear anything about it, did you? Because the regime media covered it up. So Tucker is preparing to expose it, finally, or at least give this guy's side of the story. You recall the big book, what's the guy's name, David Garrow, I think, who talked about in that interview with the reporter how that Obama told an old girlfriend that he fantasized about homosexual sex. That made some headlines. It got a little bit of traction more recently, as more and more people now are saying. They didn't say it back in 2013. They certainly didn't say it in 2008. But now they're saying he's a fraud. He's a fraudulent man through and through. This is American Thinker. It says there was a flurry of headlines when it emerged recently that Barack Obama had admitted to gay fantasies. However, back in 2008, there were no headlines at all when Larry Sinclair announced that he had had gay sex with Obama while they were snorting cocaine. It's a pretty big story. It says here, the real story here is the media's silence in the face of something incredibly newsworthy. And Tucker Carlson, in addition to an almost throwaway line on Adam Carolla's podcast, appears poised to use his enormous reach to expose that unethical partisan silence. See, in the case of certain leaders, Bill Barr, you just cover it up. Cover up all the crimes. Cover up all the incriminating evidence. But in the case of Donald Trump, I mean, there is a different standard that we abide by. And so there's pious Bill Barr saying that, hey, even if you're a prominent official running for office, if you've got some crazed left-wing lunatic prosecutor that's coming after you, let it play out. Just let it play out. Communists have seized control of the Democrat Party, and more you see the Republicans just happy to join. It's like my father said in that quote, the ready for war quote, if I can find it again. The Republicans, says here, page 2, it is astounding that these establishment Republicans would rather live under the tyrant Barack Obama than support those who would support Donald Trump. This article, switching back to American Thinker, it says Barack Obama was sold to the American public as a model of minority rectitude. Joe Biden got it. I mean, you got the first mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean. That's quoting Joe Biden. It says here, and it was a storybook, or at least a story. Obama himself admitted to being a drug user in high school and college, but we were assured that he was a reformed guy who had settled down with his lovely wife, Michelle. Further on, it says, however, back in 2008, months before the election, Larry Sinclair, a man with an admittedly questionable past, claimed that he'd met up with Obama in Chicago, where Obama had obtained cocaine for Sinclair, settled himself down with a crack pipe, and then it gets a little bit disgusting. I'll stop right there. But your media, your friends, the truth tellers like Jim Acosta, they covered it up. They cover it up, just like KJ. They learned this well from the Dear Leader. Just lie. Even if it's a big, bold, audacious lie, just lie. The border is secure and the economy is booming. And people don't believe it. They don't believe it. And this is why, as I said earlier, Rachel Maddow's head is exploding, because she sees the numbers. They see the numbers. They see the black community peeling off away from the Communist Party and endorsing Donald Trump. Some of them even celebrities. They've had enough. They've seen too many lies. They've seen these buses drop off migrants right down the street from them in northern states, even in blue states. And people are outraged. Further on in this story, I'll skip over the seedy details. It says, then the media killed the story, just killed it, refusing to report on it at all. It was too silly to pass the journalistic sniff test. The media wanted to and did prove that if a tree falls in a forest devoid of human life, it makes no sound. Sinclair and his claim that the clean, articulate, all-American black presidential candidate was a drug-using guy who engaged in anonymous homosexual sex, it says it died abhorrent. It died in the grave, or sorry, in the cradle, I should say. I was thinking of Churchill's statement. I haven't heard that particular term, in the bornin', but there you go. They just scrubbed it. They just blotted it out. No problem. And they did it for years and years and years. It's only been recently, just this year, in fact, where you've had people actually say Obama is running the show. And Obama's a communist. America is under attack. The 800 number, just to repeat, 1-866-930-3024. When we come back, we've got our current news segment for the week and also some time to conclude with a short Bible study. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
I'm speaking to you from our television studios in Pasadena, where I speak to the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness of modern religious confusion.
Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist and one of the most prominent religious leaders of the 20th century. Watched, read, and followed by millions worldwide. But his legacy of Bible-based humanitarianism came under attack after he died. The cabal of leaders who took control of the church he founded, after pledging to follow in his footsteps, methodically destroyed all he had built. Those who would stop them were silenced or excommunicated. This shocking story of betrayal and deception is told in Raising the Ruins. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Russian President Vladimir Putin agreed to visit China for the Belt and Road Forum in October, according to a Bloomberg report published August 29th. This visit will mark Putin's first trip outside of Russian or allied territory since the International Criminal Court, or ICC, issued a warrant for his arrest. The warrant accuses Putin of alleged war crimes regarding the deportation of Ukrainian children to Russia. Since the arrest warrant, Putin has only traveled to Russian-occupied parts of Ukraine and former Soviet nations that remain aligned with Moscow and Iran, none of which are party to the ICC. China is also not part of the organization. To those familiar with Bible prophecy, it is not surprising that Putin is prioritizing his relationship with China. Revelation 16:12 speaks of a multinational Asian alliance referred to as the Kings of the East. Russia will lead this alliance, supported by China. To understand more about this key prophetic relationship between Russia and China, read Russia and China in Prophecy. The United States Special Envoy to Yemen called for Yemen's Houthi rebels to attend peace talks with the Yemeni government on August 30th. This could be a major boon for Iran, which seeks to gain proxy control of Yemen via the Houthis. The Houthis are an Iran-backed terrorist group that has controlled much of eastern Yemen for years. They have refused to talk to the government, seeing it as a puppet of Saudi Arabia. But Saudi Arabia is pulling out of Yemen, giving the Iranian proxy legitimacy in the country. The U.S. Special Envoy's words suggest the U.S. supports this. Yemen controls one side of the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the Red Sea's southern exit point. Europe depends on the Red Sea-Mediterranean Sea corridor to trade with Asia without sailing around Africa. Complete control over Yemen could give Iran tremendous leverage in world trade. To learn more about the importance of Yemen and Iran's campaign to control it, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Iran Gets a Stranglehold on the Middle East. The Central American Parliament voted on August 21st to push Taiwan out of the organization and replace it with China. This is the latest diplomatic blow to the island nation and the latest move in China's takeover of Latin America. The Central American Parliament is a political institution representing Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, and the Dominican Republic. For decades, Taiwan has been in the group's observer category, meaning that the Central American Parliament recognizes that it shares objectives and principles with the group. Now this group of Central American nations say their principles and objectives align more with the Chinese Communist Party. China already has deep influence in Latin American nations, and this diplomatic switch sets the stage for their relationship to deepen further. The close relationship between China and Latin America has important prophetic implications. To understand more about this subject, read America is Being Besieged Economically. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There you have it, the current news segment for the week. All of that literature that is plugged in that segment, you can get to that at thetrumpet.com website. You can also call the 800 number that we give over and again. If you'd like to give some feedback to this show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. Also, don't forget about the Twitter page, @StephenFlurry. That's Stephen with a PH. That's our Twitter feed, or at least my personal Twitter feed. And also don't forget about the LFA broadcast or rebroadcast every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern or 8 p.m. Central. That's at Rumble, of course. Just hunt for LFA TV, and you can see these very programs replayed every night. Same day service, by the way. I think there is one more short clip that will, in a way, tie in with these few scriptures that I just wanted to go through today. But I mentioned the barricade, the proud. If you notice about these guys that they're sending to prison, you see seditious conspiracy over and again, seditious conspiracy, but you notice they don't ever really describe, well, what was it that they actually did? I mean, okay, you use the moving barricade thing as a way to say this is an act of terrorism. Are you serious? So moving a barricade now is an act of terrorism? Play this clip of protesters. This was during the Summer of Love. This was in D.C., the nation's capital. This was a lot of people moving barricades. Clip 5.
It seems like the protesters have gotten the upper hand a couple times. They've been able to rip away parts of the barricade and kind of pull them away and just toss them. And then the police will go and bring another part of it and kind of reinforce. And when they do that, the protesters confront them. They throw things at them, and the police try to hold their ground. It has been a very intense push and pull for, I'd say, at least.
Now, as far as like video evidence of what people were actually doing, and that was tame by comparison to so many of the other things that were going on that summer, people literally burning down cities and looting stores, and so much of it caught on tape, caught on video, kind of like the videotape that caught the migrants scaling the wall. Well, it happened, Jim. It happened. But, okay, they carefully frame the January 6th footage to make it look like it was something it wasn't. But in the final analysis, I mean, what did this Proud Boys guy actually do besides move a little barricade? What did he do that called for him to go off to prison for 17 years? Well, they don't really get into that in most of the coverage. They're just happy because another seditious conspirator is going off to jail. The Bible says to judge by fruits. Okay, so if there was an act of vandalism or if there was actual trespassing on that day, well, then there's penalties for certainly not 17 years in prison. But what did these people actually do? When God is evaluating our conduct, he's looking at the fruits. What are these people doing and what kind of fruit are they producing? That's what he says to us. Whether ministers or members or whoever, God says you have to make judgments, but judge according to the fruits. This guy, he moved the barricade. He's crying in court. He's telling the judge, look, I've never hurt anybody. I don't have a clean record. I'd like to be able to stay at my house so I can take my daughter to school. And all of the communists and the regime media are just mocking him. Of course, the judges are doing their part to basically turn these people against Donald Trump and the whole MAGA movement. And they're confessing in court, I thought the election was stolen, but I know now it was perfect. They're trying to get a lenient sentence. That doesn't even happen, though. They'd probably be just as well if they said, you know what, I thought it was stolen, and I still do.
I actually still do. And that's not a crime, last time I checked. In doctrines class, you know, we've been laying the groundwork for all of the various doctrines that we're going to be studying through the course of this year. And if you think about the Word of God, the Holy Bible, I just told you about judging by fruits. If you think about the many different interpretations that people have of this book right here, why is there such widespread disagreement over what God actually means in the Holy Bible? Well, because there's virtually no adherence to or obedience to what God actually sets forth in the Scriptures. The Bible says that your understanding of the truth will just grow and expand to the extent that you obey the truth of God. People aren't obeying. We're living at a time where transgressors have come to the full. And you see the fruits of it every single day on this program in the first segment. Just saturated in sin. And it's destroying us. It's sickness from head to toe. The only place of refuge is in the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired it. God preserved it. I was telling the class this morning, I mean, all of these technological advancements and even studies, fields of archaeology, which is really a relatively new science. It's been around less than 300 years. But that's turning up all these artifacts that are just confirming the scriptural record. Or look at the technology, the James Webb telescope. It's giving us all of these fantastic pictures, these observations of this vast, glorious creation. And of course, that reveals, like Romans 1, verses 19 and 20 says, that reveals the Creator God. We should be as close to God as we've ever been, given the mountains of evidence proving His existence. As it is, we're probably farther from God than ever before. People just openly ridicule and mock the Word of God. Scoffers come in the last days, 1 Peter 3 says. There's a built-in hostility toward God and His law, Romans 8, 7. No wonder there's so much disagreement. For those that even consider looking into the book, I mean. There's a lot of people that just want to throw it out the window. But for those that look into it, no wonder there's so much disagreement about the meaning, the intent. Prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and hold fast that which is good. You prove the Word of God by putting it into practice. You test it out by doing it over and again, whether from the Gospels, Jesus Christ, or what James said in James 1, over and again, the Bible says that you can't be a hearer only. If you're a hearer only, then you're just deceiving yourself. We have to be doers as well. John 7, verse 15, notice this. It says, "And the Jews marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned?" I mean, Jesus wasn't your typical scholar, so a lot of people just rejected what he was saying. Verse 16 says, "Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Let me just read you that last verse. This is verse 17. In the Amplified Version, it says here, "If any man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize, can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking from myself and of my own accord and of my own authority." The Bible says you don't have to understand everything to obey. Herbert Armstrong did this, when he was converted to the truth, he just looked into the Bible. He saw that a lot of people in the world of traditional Christianity, that they weren't actually adhering to true doctrines. A lot of false doctrine had worked its way in, he discovered. And so when he started to understand the truth, God was, of course, involved in opening his mind. He began to obey. He obeyed the commandments put forth in Scripture. And then, of course, his understanding deepened and grew. over the years. Notice this verse, Psalm 111 and verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Eternal is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever." In many ways, at many times, the understanding follows the doing. Now, the doing then takes faith. Jesus spelled that out in Matthew 19. He said, you know, it's going to take, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. To just step out in faith and to keep commandments that God sets forth in Scripture, to be a doer of the Word, that's what really opens our minds to understand the truth. Notice John 5 and verse 39. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they which testify of me." It says, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." Jesus pointed the disciples and others who listened, he pointed them to the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Acts 17 says the Bereans searched the Scriptures. They were diligent in their Bible study. They got the message or the sermon from the Apostle Paul when he came through, and then when he left, they wanted to prove it. The ultimate test is in the doing. If you see it, if you hear it, then you've got to do. You've got to act on it. The Bible says that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus told the devil there in Matthew 4 during that titanic confrontation. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'll give you a couple more verses here before we conclude. You can look these up later. Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus said, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." When we don't use the Bible as the sword that it is, read Hebrews 4, verses 12 to, I think, 15 or 16. If you don't use it, that sword becomes dull and it's not going to cut and be as sharp as it needs to be to really be effective. Jesus said something to the effect that if you don't use these truths that you receive, then you're making God's word of no effect. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 that they may, you know, look religious, but they deny the power of God. You see what God's getting at here. One more from Psalm 119. This is verse 60. It says, "I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments." That's the approach that Jeremiah the prophet took. If he saw it, if it was a command of God, he saw it in the Scriptures, then he really did hurry on to obey. God loves that attitude. King David was the same way. When he made mistakes, he really did deeply repent and correct the error and get back on track. David, in fact, talked about nearly losing the Spirit of God because he had, at one point in his life, he had drifted far from God. But to get back right with God, he repented. He repented. You can read about that in Psalm 50 and Psalm 51. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. That's the kind of repentance that God's looking for in us. We have a booklet, Repentance Toward God. That's a wonderful study if you want to delve further into this and then into other books that just explain the purpose and the plan that God's working out here below, like Mystery of the Ages. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. That's all we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email us, td@thetrumpet.com, and if you're at Rumble, whether at LFA or our Rumble channel, make sure you give us that thumbs up, like, and share the video. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.